This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
What if I told you that you could earn airline status without flying a single mile, or that you could score upgrades, lounge access, and insane flight redemptions all by mastering a few simple travel techniques? Well, today, we're doing a full deep dive into American Airlines. How to earn status without the flying, the secret perks you need to know, and how to turn everyday spending into first-class flights. And to help us break it all down, I've got a true American Airlines expert on the show, Ali Rudy. She grew up in an American Airlines family, earned her first elite status at just 3 years old, and now she's here to share her best tips for climbing the American Airlines status ladder. So buckle up, because this episode is packed with everything you need to revolutionize your next journey with American Airlines.
Imagine pursuing your dreams of exploring the world's most exquisite destinations without the extravagant price tag. This is the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, hosted by DeAndre Koch, founder of Boldly Go and an expert in financial planning as recognized by Forbes. This podcast is your bridge to a world where travel savvy meets luxury. With DeAndre's unique financial planning perspective, you'll glean insights on making the most of credit card loyalty points and miles for travel that doesn't just move you, but takes you places that you may have never thought possible. Expect the most up-to-date credit card strategies for points and miles, stories from successful professionals on how they integrate travel into their busy lives, and other captivating stories from around the globe. Whether you're a seasoned traveler or just starting out, join us in exploring the best of global travel and learn how to experience nearly free luxury travel around the world yourself. Your journey transforms here, igniting our revolution in the world of travel.
Welcome to the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast. I am your host, DeAndre Koch. Today, I have a fantastic guest for all of you listeners today. We've got Ali Rudy. Ali and I met at the Travel More conference last year in Dallas, and her father actually gave a really insightful talk on all things American Airlines. And for the listeners of the show, you guys know I am an American Airlines loyalist. That is my airline of choice. So I thought it would be great to have Ali on the show today to do a full deep dive on all things American Airlines and get to share both of our knowledges and wisdom on the American Airlines status, how to get it, the benefits, all those different things. So Ali, welcome to the show.
Thanks, DeAndre. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy we can finally make this work. So, Ali, before we get into all things American Airlines, tell me a little bit about yourself. So your background, where are you from, or where do you live, I should say, and how did you get into the world of points and miles? And for you, I want to ask you to throw in the extra, how'd you become an American airline expert along with your dad?
Yeah, so I live in Southern California. Right now I'm in LA. I grew up in Orange County, and I have an account with my husband, Ali and Landon is our Instagram. And I first got into it because I grew up basically being taught, you know, whenever you turn 18, you get a credit card, get one credit card, get an airline card, put all of your spend on it, and then, you know, you'll get some free flights here and there. But you're not getting every single flight for free. So when I was in college, I first opened an American Airlines credit card because that's what my parents told me to do. I got, you know, the 70,000 miles after spending $1, and then got a couple free flights from that. And from there, started to find some more of the world of points and miles on social media, and really started to dabble more of, oh, I could get this more than one free flight a year. I could do this all the time, and I could get hotels for free. So that's kind of how it started, was started with American Airlines and then dove into that. My family has been all American Airlines my whole life. I first earned American Airlines Gold status when I was 3 years old from a challenge. And so that's always a little fun fact. But my dad first earned Executive Platinum when I was in college, and the rest of us have been hooked ever since. That was around the time that they switched to loyalty points. But yeah, that's a little bit about how I started with American Airlines, and then I got into more of the general points and miles, and then became even more of an expert in American Airlines.
So one of the things you said that's really interesting, and it's probably contrary to what a lot of parents I find teach their children, is that you were encouraged, hey, when you're 18, get a credit card. Now, obviously, there is the piece of being responsible attached to that as well, but you were encouraged to get a credit card. You could use it for points. And of course, that started the journey that you were on. Really, your parents' love for travel early on is what started that journey. But with the expansion into the credit card points and miles world was added on later on. I'm going to add to that for the listeners as well. Something that you might not think about is for those of you that have children, adding your child as an authorized user on a credit card can start their credit journey and credit history so much earlier than when they're 18. So that as long as you're being responsible with these cards, and it's not a card that you actually close down, that you have the opportunity to have your child turn 18 and already have a 10 or 15 average year of history with credit, which can do phenomenal things for their credit score. So the fact that you were encouraged at 18 is a great start, but for listeners to know, hey, you can actually start that journey a little bit earlier. So what I want to do is go ahead and transition to talking through American Airlines. And a lot of people assume, right, that you've got to fly a ton in order to earn status. So an American Airlines for a long time was really about miles, butts and seats. You know, you physically fly in the plane in order to accrue status and loyalty, but they've since changed that to loyalty points. So let's just start and set the tone to talk through what exactly are loyalty points.
Loyalty points are basically the thing that tracks your status. You can earn them in a ton of different ways, which we'll dive into, but there's different levels, and they are, you earn them at a very similar rate to miles, but they are slightly different and you don't redeem them. They are just tracking your status essentially.
And so from a status standpoint, for American Airlines, there's four levels. The lowest level starts with gold. It goes gold, platinum, platinum pro, which both of us are platinum pro, and executive platinum. And I know we were talking off air about why we didn't really feel the need to push for executive platinum, and we'll get back to that as well. So loyalty points, just to reiterate, so those are the things that are tied to status, but they're separate from miles. So how do these two play a role together?
So most of the time, anytime you're earning miles, you're also earning, usually, if you're earning 1 mile, you're also earning 1 loyalty point. There's a few caveats to this, but most of the time, that's true. Where it kind of changes up a little bit is, one, anytime you see bonus miles, you are not earning loyalty points on that. So that would be with credit card bonuses. There's a dining bonus. You can get bonus miles on the shopping portal from a couple different ways. Anytime you see the word bonus, you're not going to be earning loyalty points. So that doesn't count towards your status. On the flip end of that is when you hit certain status levels, certain loyalty point levels, you can get a 20% or 30% loyalty point bonus. And so where you might earn 100, that's for easy math, let's say you earn 100 miles on something and you're at a period of time where you're earning 30% bonus, you might earn 100 miles, but 130 loyalty points. So that's kind of the two caveats to pay attention to. Most of the time you're earning very similar or the same number, but occasionally it can be flipped on one end or the other.
And that's a really good point to add in as well, because oftentimes when you go to buy a flight with American Airlines with cash, they make the offer and say, hey, just so you know, for another 150 or 200 bucks, you can add 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 bonus miles, which these are miles that you could then redeem for future travel. But those miles, like you said, aren't tied to loyalty points. And so they don't help you with status. So if you're trying to get status, you can't really buy your way up to status that way. But there are some ways you can technically buy your way up to status. So Allie, what are some of your go-to strategies to accrue loyalty points that doesn't mean having to hop on a plane and fly around the world?
So the number one way is the AAdvantage shopping portal for sure. And some of like the sweet spots there are meal kits and a few different offers that, you know, maybe it'll cost you only 50 bucks, but can earn you 4,000 or 5,000 miles and 4,000 or 5,000 loyalty points, or even more if you're getting that bonus. So shopping portals for sure. And then also stacking these shopping portals with Simply Miles offers. So if anyone is not familiar with Simply Miles, they're basically offers that you can add to your credit cards. It only works with MasterCards specifically, but last year the American Airlines shopping portal got devalued a little bit, and so you're not able to earn quite as many miles with these meal kits. However, most of them are both on the shopping portal and on Simply Miles. So combining those together on the same purchase, you can get 6,000 or more miles and loyalty points for around $35 to $50. So that's a really great way to do that.
And one of the things you want to make sure that you do, to your point there, is read the fine print. Because if you sign up for the HelloFresh or the Blue Apron or whatever it may be, oftentimes they say you have to keep your subscription active. I believe it's usually around 45 days. And although these are weekly meal kits, to your point, you don't actually have to order a meal every single week. Now, you absolutely can and do that if you'd like to. But technically, all you have to do is order one meal or one box of meals, which is, like you said, $40-$50 or so, and then pause every single week after that, hit that threshold of 45 days. And then from there, you can eventually cancel and you'll get those miles. But also more importantly, you'll get the loyalty points. And so usually, I think, like you said, if it's 5,000 loyalty points, that also translates to 5,000 miles at the same time, which is really nice. For Simply Miles, Allie, do you find yourself using that a lot? I know it can be a little bit cumbersome because you actually have to go on there and manually add the deals in order to activate them with your card. So if they have a Blue Apron deal, for instance, if you don't go on there and add it and link your card, you don't have the ability to use it. Do you have any kind of tricks or techniques that you use with Simply Miles to be a little bit more efficient with it by chance?
Most of the time, there are new Simply Miles deals added on the 1st and the 16th of every month. There are a handful that may be added on other dates, but the biggest chunks you're gonna see is twice a month, the 1st and the 16th. So that's kind of my routine, is I try and go on the 1st and the 16th, but twice a month basically takes me 5 minutes or so to look at it, but it also helps because then I get to actually see what's new. So I was not on time on the 1st this month. I did it a couple of days late, but I was just looking at it this morning and I saw I have an Amazon deal and I have Ralph's, which is our grocery store that we use all the time. So that's our version of Kroger, basically. But that's the grocery store that we shop at the most. And it was just a bonus. I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to go there anyway. So I got to make sure that, you know, maybe I buy a little bit extra, something I can throw in the freezer. And the other thing to know about Simply Miles is every person doesn't have the exact same offers. So I sent that offer that I had to my dad for Ralph's, which mine was 2x, I think it was 2 miles in loyalty points per dollar for at least, you have to spend at least $70 each time, and you can get it up to twice in the month. I sent it to my dad and he sends me his Ralph's offer back, and he had 6x and up to 4 times for a minimum of $60 each. So usually you're going to get very similar stores, but sometimes you're going to get different offers. Another one that is up there a lot is Amazon. It's not for a ton of money ever. It's usually for $40 or something, but any little bit counts.
And I like that you mentioned that as well. So there's actually a couple things that you mentioned there. So A, I didn't actually know about the timing of the dates. I just thought it was completely just randomly dropped in. So the fact that there's a cycle of 1st and 16th makes that a little bit easier for me to actually take the time to go on there and see if there's any new or updated deals, because I honestly thought they just randomly drop in. But to your point about the different offers out there, that's really fitting, because in our private Facebook group, which is an incentive for the listeners, of course, to join if you haven't already, back in, I think it was November, December, I mentioned that for some people, they had a targeted offer where basically if you donated, I think it was $50 to the like a conservancy program, you got something like 1,000 loyalty points or...
Yeah, I had it. It was $50 up to 3 times, so 150, and it was $17.95 every time. So it was a little bit over 5,000 miles if you spent, I think it was about $52.50 was the math after spending $150. So really good deal there.
Yeah, you know, $150 and you're getting 5,000 loyalty points and you're donating to a good cause.
It's a tax write-off as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a tax write-off as well. It's a charity donation. And I posted that in the group. I told Taryn, my fiance, about it. She went and did it. I scrubbed my Simply Miles, was not there. I checked every single day, never showed up. And then I think it went away after like 3 days because I guess they hit their cap. And so I have yet to be able to do that. So I'm hoping this is the year I get to do that because that was 5,000 both loyalty points and miles for 150, which is an absolute steal, which is awesome.
Yeah. The other thing to know too is when you do see those offers that are really good and they're getting posted a lot too, you want to jump on them because a lot of times those do have a cap. And I did get a ton of DMs like, oh, did it go away? And I'm like, it, you know, they must have hit their cap if you're people who had seen it and then didn't have it anymore. So you want to make sure we jump on those too.
So Allie, so we talked about the Simply Miles and that's tied to the shopping portal, which the shopping portal, we did a full episode on that, which we'll link in the show notes. That was all about shopping portals. We talked a lot about the Rakuten shopping portal, American Airlines shopping portal. So we're not going to go too much on a deep dive of that today. But one of the things I would recommend for the listeners is if you don't already, you can very easily add a plugin for the shopping portal so that when you're shopping on Nike.com or Sam's or Lowe's or whatever it may be online, you have a plugin on your browser that pops up and says, hey, you can earn miles for this purchase. Just click this button here, which is really nice. So shopping is actually a very easy way to earn loyalty points. But I know that American has a dining program as well. And can you talk a little bit about how that program works?
Yeah, so the dining program is if you just sign up, you get an extra, you know, 1x per dollar on any of their restaurants. If you sign up for their email list, you get 3x. And then if you've hit 11 of their restaurants in a year, then you'll get up to 5x. And so this is super easy because it is just a set and forget. You go in, you add all of your credit cards, and you don't have to go and check in or anything whenever you go to a restaurant. So there have been several times where I have gone out to eat, and then right after I check out, I get an email from American Airlines. It's like, congratulations, you just got 500 miles. And I'm like, oh, I did not even realize it. So that's another really sweet way to earn miles and loyalty points on money that you're already spending eating out.
Yeah, it's super easy. Like for us, I pretty much use my Chase Sapphire Reserve for all dining purchases for the most part. And so that's one of the cards that I have linked. And as you said, anywhere you go, you just swipe it. You'll get the 3X with Chase, but then you'll get these bonus American loyalty points and miles on that. And again, it's not a lot unless you're really balling when you're going to some of these dinners. But there's plenty of places that offer it in local restaurants. And so you can go online and find out which ones are the restaurants that are on the list. But what's actually been cool is we've actually suggested to some of our friends that own restaurants locally, like, hey, you should put yourself on the American Advantage Dining Program because that will attract people to you. And they do it. And it's very little cost, if no cost to them at all. But it incentivizes the business and the brand and other things. And now some of our favorite places that we go are on Advantage Shopping. So yeah, when we rack up a bar tab there or dinner or date night or whatever it may be, we're racking up miles just by getting food, which is nice.
Yeah, especially if you are the person with the credit card of the group and you can get all of your friends to just Venmo you or pay you back, then that's another really good way to get miles on money that you're not actually spending too.
So what about the hotel program? So I've found this to be a pretty easy way to accumulate a good chunk of American Airlines loyalty points. Can you talk about their hotel program specifically?
Yeah, so it's really interesting because it's a really good value if you, in my opinion, if you already have at least gold status and if you already have an American Airlines credit card. The reason is when you, so how it works, let me back up. How it works is you are going and you're booking pretty much any hotel. And instead of earning, you're not earning nights at the hotel and you're not earning points at that hotel. You are earning American Airlines miles instead and loyalty points. And it's essentially like booking through a third party. It's very similar to if you're booking through Expedia.com. So there's kind of some things to think about when you are booking these, but the return on American Airlines miles can be insane. However, they have two different earning rates. So there's one earning rate if you are just American Airlines member versus if you have status and a credit card. So you have to have both, even if it's just gold status. But I recently stayed at a hotel where we did this, and the difference was, it was like 12, I think we maybe spent $1,200 for the stay, and it was like, you'll earn 1,200 miles if you are just a member, but if you have status and a credit card, then you're earning 15,000 miles. So it was essentially a 15x difference. So that is another really great way to, I wouldn't say it's a great way to earn your gold status, but to increase from gold or to any other status, then that's a really good strategy to add it in there. If you're not staying at a hotel that you care so much about the status or nights or anything like that.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with you. There's a few nuanced times when it makes sense. Actually coming up, so we're going to Tucson for TravelCon, and the convention that is, which will, this will already pass when this airs, but the convention center is right next to a DoubleTree Hilton. And because of the Amex Platinum, we have Hilton gold status already, but I don't really need nights and I'm not really working to acquire more status with Hilton. And so we booked this same hotel through the Advantage Hotel program. And very similarly, I think for our stay, which is during a conference, so it was a little more expensive. It was probably like $2,000 for our stay for like 4 nights or whatever it may be. But we're getting something insane. It was like somewhere between 15,000 and 18,000, both miles and loyalty points, which is absolutely insane. But then I could still contact Hilton and add that reservation to my account. So I see it in my account. And so I'm not going to get the qualifying nights, I don't expect, nor do I plan to get Hilton points for the stay. But I'm still going to go there as a Hilton Gold member and be able to get the benefits of being Hilton Gold when we go. So there's some definitely some nuances there, which is really nice. But knowing that you have to at least have gold and have an American Airlines credit card is important. But getting gold is not that difficult because of the fact that it only takes 40,000 loyalty points to hit gold. And that's literally, you can do a HelloFresh and a Blue Apron as an example. That would get you 25% of the way there, almost 10,000 points.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you mentioned something important was that you called ahead and added your reservation there. With these third parties, and Advantage Hotels is no different, things get lost in communication. And so making sure that if you do book through any third party, that you're calling ahead, making sure that they have your reservation, because you don't want to get booked out of a room. And especially if you booked a specific room, sometimes those can get lost in communication as well. If you booked for, you know, two doubles and then you end up with a king, but you're traveling with your kids. So always make sure to call ahead and make sure they have your reservation before traveling, as soon as you book through a third party.
That's huge, because I see that in some of the American Airlines like online groups and such, where people will show up to a hotel and they don't have their booking at all. And specifically with American Airlines, which is their Advantage Hotel program, they literally only ask you for your name, your email address, maybe your phone number and a credit card. They don't ask you for what your Hilton Honors numbers is or your Marriott Bonvoy account or anything like that. So you absolutely want to do that. And I found that this also can be a really sweet spot if you're going to an area that doesn't have the Hilton, the Marriotts, the Hyatts, and they have some kind of off brands. These are luxurious hotels or amazing hotels, but they're not the typical brands that you stay at. That's also a really great time to utilize this, because if you're not going to get status or points or anything like that you would normally get, why not stack up and get a ton of loyalty points and value for a stay somewhere more off the beaten path?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good time to use it too.
Hey everyone, I hope you're enjoying this week's episode. DeAndre here, and I just wanted to interrupt briefly to remind you of two things. First, be sure to sign up for our newsletter, where we give you direct access to travel updates, news you'll want to jump on in the points and miles world, and our continuously updated card offers to maximize your travel rewards, often before they're ever mentioned in the show. Also, if you didn't already know, we have a private Facebook group where we share news as it breaks, ideas, and other things that don't make it into the newsletter or show many times. and that's the best place to get your points and miles question answered directly by me and other travel enthusiasts. Both of these links will be in the show notes. Now, back to the show. So let's talk, Allie, and switch gears a little bit about the different status levels, because we just mentioned it takes only 40,000 points to get to gold, right? And then next is platinum, platinum, pro, and executive platinum. So let's talk a little bit about the perks of the various status levels, starting with gold. Do you mind sharing some of the benefits of why, and you already mentioned one, right? One is the fact that you can then accelerate your growth by having gold. But when someone gets gold, what are some of the benefits that they can expect just from gold?
So gold, you're going to get priority, like check-in and security. So you're going to get to go in that priority check-in line if you're in the US, or if you are in another country, sometimes they have priority security lines that are similar to our TSA pre-check in a sense, shorter lines, that sort of thing. You're going to get a little bit earlier boarding. So you're going to get group 4 boarding. You're going to have the potential for complimentary upgrades as early as 24 hours before. You're going to get your first checked bag free, and that goes for you and anyone on your reservation. And then at check-in, so at 24 hours before, if there are any preferred seats, main cabin extra seats available, then you can move to those at check-in.
And I think that last thing you mentioned was one of the best benefits. It is nice being able to go into the priority line, which is great at any status level, because you go into the airport and there's, you know, line wrapping around the wall for a regular check-in. Priority often has much less. So just, again, even at gold, you get that. The free bags, great. But the ability to buy a regular seat that's in the back of the plane, and then as long as there's something in the emergency row or the front section, which if you're looking at booking a flight, American Airlines, it's the orange colored seats, you can, within 24 hours, move your seat to that, and everyone else on your booking can do, you can do the same for all of them without having to pay an additional fee, which is really nice. And typically speaking, because they kind of have these reserved first for elite status members, there's usually always almost one seat, if not two or three or more, which is great.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing that isn't, I guess, counted as like a benefit, but is a benefit, is that when you are spending money on flights, whether you're buying a flight cash, the taxes and fees that you're paying, or if you're paying for upgrades, you're earning more miles and loyalty points per dollar as well. So when you are just an AAdvantage member, you're earning 5x. When you hit to gold, you're at 7x. So you're already earning an extra 2x per dollar you're spending with American.
Which makes it really nice as well. And so the next step up from there is platinum. And actually, I just remember there's one other benefit of gold, and that's the fact that you get One World Ruby status.
Yes, you're right.
One World Ruby gives you, if you're flying the One World Alliance, so that could be JAL, that could be Korean Air, that could be Alaskan Airlines, and you're in one of these hubs for a different flight international, that gets you into any lounge that you have access to through One World Ruby. Or even, you might not have status as an example on Alaskan Airlines, but they might have a priority check-in line for anyone that is One World Ruby, Sapphire, or the highest level, which is Emerald as well. So it gets you a status in the Alliance, which is nice.
Yeah. The other thing people don't talk about is that on Alaska, you actually can get complimentary upgrades, whereas no other One World airlines, you're going to be eligible for those. Alaska, you are eligible, even if you're behind some of their Alaska elites. Sometimes, depending on where you're flying, if it's not too busy, you actually can get free upgrades on Alaska as well, even at gold.
And that's a really great tidbit as well. And I need to correct myself, because I know if I don't, I'm going to get a DM or an email. I said Korean Air. That's not part of One World. It's actually Qatar Airways is what I meant to say, which is part of One World Alliance as well. So moving on, for sake of time, let's talk about platinum status. So platinum is where I was at for a decent while, until I realized that there are some very significant differences and advantages of being platinum pro versus platinum, which we'll get to in just a minute. But what changes, Allie, when one goes from gold to platinum?
So you're going to get a little bit better boarding. So from group 4, you're going to be group 3. You're going to earn 8x points or miles and loyalty points per dollar. You're going to be eligible for an upgrade as early as 48 hours before. You're also going to get 2 free checked bags per person on your reservation. And then those complimentary preferred seats and main cabin extra seats are going to be available at booking instead of just at check-in. So that's another bonus. And then this is where you're going to hit One World Sapphire status as well.
And so I think the biggest perk with the platinum status, in my opinion, is specifically the fact that you don't have to wait until that 24-hour check-in window to move your seats from blue to orange. You can, from the time you book, you can book the exit row, you can book the extended legroom seats in the front of the plane, not first class, but or business class, but right behind that, which is really nice. And so from the get-go, you can do that, and that's completely free and included just by having platinum status for you and everyone else in your booking as well. I personally think that's the most valuable piece of part of platinum. Allie, would you agree with that, or do you think there's something else that you find a little bit more enticing with the platinum status?
I think if you're flying internationally a lot, the most enticing part is being able to get into partner lounges when you're flying internationally. If you're doing mostly domestic travel, I would agree with you, but being able to get into lounges without paying a huge annual fee on a credit card, I think is huge for a lot of people.
That's a really good point, because with the lounge access that you get as One World Sapphire, you can get into some very nice lounges that are not priority pass lounges. Now, granted, there are very nice priority pass lounges as well, but there are some incredible lounges around the world that specifically you have to be in the alliance or have status in this alliance or be flying business or first class with the alliance to be able to get into. So I think that's a great point as well. And that is a great segue to one of the reasons why I wanted to push and get Platinum Pro, which this is now either my second or third year as Platinum Pro specifically. And that was because once you get to Platinum Pro, which for the record, so gold was 40,000 loyalty points, platinum was 75,000 loyalty points, and Platinum Pro is 125,000 loyalty points. And American Airlines, their loyalty period is March 1st. All the way through February 28th. So they did that so that people aren't trying to like bum rush loyalty status by flying at the, you know, end of the Christmas year. So their year's a little bit off. But one of the main reasons why I pushed for Platinum Pro status was access to One World Emerald and those lounges, because one of the best business class lounges in the world, which is in Doha in Qatar, if you're flying long haul business class and you are One World Emerald, this is one of the most incredible lounges I've ever seen. So to your point about the international travel access to lounges, that steps itself up amazingly when you are Platinum Pro. But what else, Allie, do you think, well, what else in the Platinum Pro space do you get, and what do you find the most valuable?
I would agree that it's those extra like lounges that you get, because you do get access to more lounges, better lounges, or even like nicer parts of the same lounge. Like there are certain lounges that you'll go into that you'll have to get like a certain card to enter a different side of the lounge. So I think that's definitely the most valuable when it comes to Platinum Pro. But a few just overall differences: you're going to be earning 9x miles and loyalty points per dollar. You're going to get to that group 2 check-in. You can get complimentary upgrades as early as 72 hours before. And then you also get 3 free checked bags as well per person instead of 2 or 1. But going back to the lounges, I definitely think that that is the most valuable part of it for sure.
I remember a few weeks ago we had Julia Menez on the show, and she was talking about in Hong Kong has one of the most incredible lounges in the world that she's ever been to. And this is one that you have to be flying One World and be One World Emerald status to get into, where you can schedule like high-end massages with them. Apparently this place is amazing, and I'm excited because we're going to be flying through Hong Kong here in the end of this year. So I'm excited to experience it, but I do think the lounge access is great. The one other reason, so there were, for me personally, there were 2 total reasons why I said, you know what, I'm going to make the effort to push from Platinum to Platinum Pro. One was the One World Emerald, which is huge. The second was the ability to do a mattress run for globalist status with Hyatt. And so for those that don't know, American Airlines and Hyatt have had a partnership for many years. And for anyone that's gold or platinum status, they would allow you to fast track yourself to Explorer status with Hyatt, which is the second highest and typically needs 30 nights. You can get in 10 nights. And that was the best you can get. Well, for those who are Platinum Pro and Executive Platinum, you only needed 20 nights to get Globalist. So you still had the 10-night option, but if you wanted to, you could do get Globalist in 20 nights. And to be very clear, this is in a 90-day period. So you can trigger this 90-day period whenever you want within the rules that they say. So usually, like last year, they said you had to trigger it before, I think, October 31st. And so as long as you triggered it by October 31st, you'd have a 90-day clock to complete either 10 or 20 nights. I found that super valuable because that's how I got Globalist status for us for this year. We've been Explorers before many years, but Globalist status was really amazing and really wouldn't have done it outside of the fact that I had this opportunity to do so. So those are probably my biggest reasons for hitting Platinum Pro. I know, Allie, we were talking a little bit before the show started about like how we're both Platinum Pro. I'm curious, are there any other reasons or what were your reasons, I should say, for getting Platinum Pro status, and why not push for the Executive Platinum status, which we'll talk about in a second, that requires 200,000 loyalty points?
Yeah, so I'm very newly Platinum Pro status, actually maybe like 2 weeks Platinum Pro. So I haven't even gotten to fly with my Platinum Pro status. Not that it would make a huge difference, you know, just on my normal day-to-day flights. But that lounge access for sure. I actually didn't know that that was a regular thing with the Globalist run, mainly because I would love to get Globalist, but it just hasn't made sense for me to do it the traditional way. But now that I'm Platinum Pro this year, I might be able to hit Globalist. But going back to Executive Platinum, the main thing is airlines, and this is not American Airlines specific, this is all US airlines, are starting to sell more and more of their upgrades, their first class upgrades. And so we're seeing less and less of the free complimentary upgrades, even Executive Platinums. I was on a flight recently and the guy was sitting next to me in economy and was like just complaining that he's an Executive Platinum and that he wasn't even close to being on the list. Now, granted, we're flying out of DFW, which is going to be the hardest place to get an upgrade. But with an extra 75,000 loyalty points, when it comes to, you know, those meal kits and those kind of tricks that are really good for getting to gold, you can only hit those usually once. And so they're usually things you've already done. So it's a lot harder to hit that last 75,000 loyalty points if you're not naturally spending that money on flights. Now, if you are traveling for work and your work is paying for these flights and you're getting that naturally, then that's great. But usually our dollars can be better spent other places. Once we hit that 125,000, even though we can earn these miles and loyalty points through the shopping portal, there is just that question of, well, I could get this many American Airlines miles, or I could shop with Rakuten and get this many Amex points. And so once you hit that threshold, for a lot of people, it makes sense to start spending your money for more flexible miles as well.
That's a really great point. And that's also a great segue to the other option is an American Airlines co-branded credit card that you can spend a lot on, because every dollar you spend is both a loyalty point slash actual mile that you can, you know, redeem. But then the question goes, does it make sense to split a lot of spend on an American Airlines card versus Amex Gold, the Chase Sapphire, you know, Capital One, all of these other branded cards? So, Allie, I'd love to hear what thoughts do you have when someone's debating, okay, you know, you just mentioned that you do have an American Airlines credit card, right? I do as well. I've got the Citi business card and I've got the Red Aviator Barclays card, which is going away. So I'm curious, what's your thought process on American Airlines credit cards? And, you know, do you actively use yours?
As far as the credit cards, I think everyone should get the Barclays Red Aviator card because it's just such a good deal. You can earn 60 or 70,000 miles after just spending $1. And I actually just got that bonus for the second time. And I only opened that card before maybe 3 years ago. So I don't think it's a 4-year wait like some cards. I think it's a 2-year wait. But I just hit that for the second time. So that one I think is a no-brainer for anyone who has the room in their 524. When it comes to the city cards, I look at American Airlines cards more for the welcome offers than as daily spending cards. So I do have, or I did have, the City Personal, which I downgraded or canceled the last time the annual fee came up. And then I also have the business card, but I would wait to open these until there is an elevated offer. Pretty regularly, they go up to 75,000 miles from 50,000, which is a huge difference. And so if you are looking into those cards, I would make sure that there is that elevated offer on them. And then going back to the Red Aviator card, it's really interesting because I have always advised people to actually not use their American Airlines cards on their American Airlines flights, which seems backwards. But the main reason being is their cards have never had any sort of trip insurance or anything like that, which they actually just added to the Red Aviator card. And so I haven't gotten a chance to look into if they, I meant to look if they added it for the City card as well, but I just kind of came across it. I was like, wait, that's never been there before, which is why I haven't used that card on the taxes. And so now kind of on my next flights, I'm thinking, should I use that card? But it's very newly added, so I do want to look at the terms of what my different cards offer. So making sure that I'm getting the most protection when I am flying, no matter what card I'm using.
I think that that's fantastic advice because I didn't know that myself. I was in the same boat. I never use my American Airlines credit cards for actual American Airlines flights. Although you get 2x the value, you know, the fact that you would then need to actually buy trip insurance to make it worthwhile depletes that completely. So I'm always using my Chase cards for flights because, you know, you get the 3x, but then also the trip is insured specifically. The only time I've ever used my American card for flights basically is if I'm paying for an upgrade to first class in cash or whatever it may be. So I'm going to look into that as well. I think that's an incredible piece of advice and tidbit, especially that's been added to the Barclays card. That could be huge if they bring it to Citi, which they're basically getting away from. Their partnership with Barclays is going away, and so all of their cards going forward will be Citi. I will throw in there, so the Citi business card that I have, I did actually use it for about a month this year on my quest to get back to Platinum Pro. And on, you know, we've talked about on our show that we cracked the code basically on how to put payroll on credit cards. So I actually ran one payroll cycle on that card and got a huge chunk of points from that that was able to help get me the rest of the way I needed to Platinum Pro status. So outside of kind of trying to hit a specific goal, I really don't use that card or those cards on a daily or ongoing basis because of the fact that there's so many other better points earning cards. And you mentioned Executive Platinum and the status and the upgrades going away. It does feel like even as Platinum Pro that I'm not getting upgraded as much as I was when I was Gold and Platinum years ago, which is unfortunate. And as best as I can plan, I try to avoid us connecting because we have to connect everywhere because I live in Virginia, connecting through Dallas because of the fact that there's like no shot to get upgraded when you fly through DFW. And I've seen people that they're like, yeah, I'm not only Executive Platinum, I'm Executive Platinum and I hit 400,000 loyalty points. Again, you only need 200,000 to get EP. They hit 400,000 and they're like, I didn't even get upgraded on my flight. I was number 16 on the wait list. And so DFW can be an absolute upgrade nightmare. So I try to avoid it as best as possible, but sometimes, you know, it is what it is. But I just noticed we didn't actually cover some of the Executive Platinum benefits outside of, you know, of course, higher up on the upgrade list and such. So Allie, can you run through just a couple of the other benefits, you know, outside of getting Zone 1 boarding?
For Executive Platinum, you are going to be earning 11x miles and loyalty points per dollar, and you're going to get everything else that we already mentioned before. But the first one that I want to mention, I actually forgot to mention this with Platinum Pro, but you get this with both Platinum Pro and Executive Platinum, is a free same-day flight change. So if you book a flight later in the day, on American Airlines, you can always stand by for an earlier flight for free. Now, you get priority with standby the same way you'd get priority with upgrades. But with Platinum Pro and Executive Platinum, you can actually change your flight, whether it's earlier or later in the day, no matter what the cost difference is. So you can't do that until the day of. You can call and change your flight if you wanted a different one. And so I actually saw Ashley gets around talking about this. I think it was maybe at, I don't remember if it was a vid, it was Instagram or at one of the Travel More conferences, but she had booked a flight that she knew she was going to get upgraded on. She looked at the availability. It was a very last minute booking. She saw she was going to get upgraded on this other flight. So her upgrade goes through right away. And then she ended up moving to the actual flight that she wanted to, but because her upgrade had already gone through, she got to stay in first class, even though she probably wouldn't have gotten upgraded on that flight. So I thought that that was really interesting, but that's another really good benefit of both Platinum Pro and Executive Platinum is getting to confirm that flight change and not just wait around at the airport trying to get something earlier or later and then missing your flight, that sort of thing. So that's really great. You'll also get Group 1 boarding with Executive Platinum. You'll get guaranteed availability as long as you are booking at least 24 hours in advance for any flight that you want to take, which is great. And then if you do not get upgraded on most flights, if as long as the flight is long enough as Executive Platinum, you can get a complimentary food and drink in economy. So that's another really great part of Executive Platinum as well.
And one of the other ways that you can use the same day flight change, so I'm glad you remembered to mention that and came, brought that back up, is you can find a flight. So let's say, you know, a lot of the flights that are out of my airport are dumb early in the morning, right? But those are also typically the most expensive flights because most people are trying to fly those flights to get their connections. So let's just say hypothetically, like you said, you know, there's no cost to this. So there could be a flight later in the day that's $200, $300, $400, $500 cheaper to take. You can book that flight, and then the day of that flight, you can move to the flight you actually wanted and take that flight out. Now, there has to be availability. I mean, that's usually not an issue, but there's a little bit of a risk there, but that could be a pretty significant savings as well, which can be nice.
Yeah. And then the other thing that it's not technically associated with Executive Platinum status, but it's with the 175,000 loyalty point reward. So we didn't super define this, but American Airlines has different loyalty point rewards essentially between statuses. So it goes from 15,000 to 60 to 100,000 to 175,000. And then there are more loyalty point bonuses beyond the 200,000 point level. But when you hit 175,000 loyalty points, so this would be before you hit Executive Platinum, you can choose your reward as two system-wide upgrades, which I think would be another really great perk of essentially Executive Platinum status is getting confirmed upgrades. The system-wide upgrade is up to 3 segments up to the next cabin. So long haul business class from economy to business or business to first class is another really good benefit of EP.
So speaking of business class, any really cool partner airlines or redemptions that you know that are out there that someone should look out for? So if they're now, you know, they've been on this quest, right, to climb the loyalty and decline the status at American, and they've accumulated all this miles that they can redeem, and American miles are some of the hardest to redeem of all airlines because there's no transfer partners, at least currently, with them. Any really ideal redemptions that you think the listener should be keeping an eye out for?
Some of the main couple that people are always talking about is Japan Airlines. It is really great for Japan Airlines. You can get to Japan for 60,000 miles in business or 80,000 in first, which are both just insane deals. And the taxes on those flights are usually only $5, $6. Whereas sometimes when you're going to like Europe per se, a lot of times going through London, the taxes on those flights just make it almost, I don't want to say not worth it, but they are so much higher. So getting to fly business class for such low taxes as well is huge. The other one is Q Suites on Qatar Airlines is another like bucket list redemption. I have not gotten to do that yet, but that's another really good one to look out for with American Airlines miles.
Yeah, so Taryn and I, we did Q Suites. We did through American Airlines, and that was JFK to Doha. I think it was only 70,000 points per person, and these are $10,000 per person tickets, which are absolutely incredible. We have another really cool redemption using American Airlines, which was only, this was actually really crazy. The economy, this is a glitch in the system, but it worked. The economy booking was 50,000 American Airlines miles, but the business class was 40,000. And this was Hong Kong to Fiji. This is the time we're going to be in Hong Kong for business class on Fiji Air. So not the most well-known business class product out there, but I mean, 40,000 points per person for a 10-hour nonstop flight in business class. I'm not mad at it at all. So there are definitely some nuances around there with American Airlines and with the miles that you're accumulating for the status. So Allie, I want to go ahead and start to wrap up here, but before we do, I want to just kind of talk big picture strategy. We talked about a lot of really great things today. If someone's listening to this and they're like, well, just where should I start? If I want to get some sort of status with American Airlines, what direction would you point them in?
Definitely to have them start with the shopping portal, Simply Miles and dining is the first place, especially the shopping and Simply Miles stacks. Like I was talking about earlier, that's going to be the first place you are looking, especially just your everyday shopping, even if you don't go with the meal kits, just your everyday shopping, Nike, Lululemon, like ordering your groceries online and getting miles through the portal. Every little dollar adds up there. So that's where I would have anybody start for sure.
Awesome. That is fantastic, Allie. Before we wrap this up, where can the listeners follow you? I know you mentioned at the beginning, but I'd love for you to repeat because I know I think you have a course that you've been working on, right?
Yes. So my Instagram is at Allie and Landon with my husband. And then we just launched a school course and community called Points and Miles U. And that covers everything points and miles related, as well as a deep dive on American Airlines and not just how to earn status, but also how to get the most out of your status, how to get different upgrades. We didn't get to talk today about like mileage upgrades, but talking about that as well. So that is where you can find us on Instagram and school Points and Miles U.
And you should absolutely follow her because her husband does something every single time they fly. Well, you just have to follow on Instagram to find out what that is because it's quite interesting and it does it every single flight since he's been a kid.
It's unique. It's unique.
Yeah, it's unique. That's for sure. Allie, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute blast having you on the show. You've been a wealth of knowledge and it's been great being able to do a nice deep dive with you and for the listeners on the subject of American Airlines. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, DeAndre.
Absolutely. For the listeners out there, if you enjoyed this show, as always, please don't hesitate to like, subscribe, leave a rating, leave us a review. We'd absolutely love a review as well. We're always trying to share this content with more individuals in the points and miles and travel space. Make sure to give Allie a follow as well. And as always, we'll catch you on the next episode. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast, brought to you by Boldly Go. Hit that follow button so you don't miss out on new episodes. For deeper insights and to level up your travel game with our strategies, make sure to follow us on our social media platforms and sign up for our newsletter to stay in the loop. Head over to www.boldlygo.world to learn more. As DeAndre is not operating through this podcast as a fiduciary and/or financial advisor, this should not be considered personal financial advice. The information covered and posted has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The strategies and results referenced on this site, while proven, are not guaranteed. While most who apply the principles referenced will achieve similar results, you may not yourself. Your results will vary and depend on many factors that may be in or out of your control, but include factors such as your credit score, financial status, business experience, etc. It is your responsibility to consume and implement these recommendations at your own risk. We cannot be held responsible for any failure to do so.
Luxury flights and hotels can be had for free. The world of points and miles sounds too good to be true, but it's actually real, but only if you know what you're doing.
On Frequent Miler on the Air, Greg and I, I'm Nick, discuss all the ways to earn points and miles and use them for outsized value.
Join us every Friday for our full episodes and every Tuesday for our quick, single-topic coffee break episodes.
See you there.